This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Cunning, capable, agile, flexible.
It gets me pumped and it gets me going.
Michael Phillips is...
Let's go!
MP on the mic.
That's an intro. I don't know if I can match that level of excitement. We'll do our best, though. 2 hours, MP on the mic. Welcome aboard, Michael Phillips. Here, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, live worldwide. On the free Odyssey app with you until noon, giving out a couple Wawa gift baskets today, so stay tuned for your chance to win. Also reminding you that next Friday, not this Friday, don't go this Friday. I mean, you can go this Friday, but you really got to be there next Friday. Shows live from TGI Fridays, having a little MP on the road, going to have some fun. We'll meet you guys. We'll eat potato skins. We'll talk about sports. Life is good. Today's main topic, though, is more seismic movement in the college sports landscape yesterday. And I feel like we haven't even been doing this show for a year now. And if you were to add up the most talked about segments we do, obviously I talk a lot of Commanders. I know the Commanders. You like the Commanders. We're the home of the Commanders. Some of you like the Cowboys. I don't hold it against you personally. I think with every passing year, I think less and less of it, period. Like, y'all jumped on a bandwagon in the 90s, and it ran straight into a ditch, and you're still on the train. Like, kind of good for you at this point. If you're sticking with it, I'm coming around. Like, oh, I'm America's team. Freaking can't stand America's team and Jerry Jones and the cheerleaders and the things. You haven't won anything in a really long time. Like, You're almost, not yet, almost becoming sympathetic. You're on the path of like, oh, you're a Cowboys fan. Like, must be fun winning 11 games every year and then doing nothing in the playoffs. Must be nice to have a quarterback who makes $70 million and isn't regarded as one of the best quarterbacks in football. Sure. If you want to do that, live your life. You do you. How's that for a hot take off the gate? We do a lot of Commanders talk around here. That's probably topic number one. I think VCU basketball is probably topic number two, and certainly that's a less controversial one because there's a few Spiders fans out there. I don't think they're listening to our program by and large. There's another station for that. They do a nice job of it. We respect them and we like them. Contrary to what Big Al told me once in person, he thought I had taken a shot at his show when I declared this the best late morning sports talk show in Richmond.
Oh,
but that's the joke. There's only one. He's an early morning sports talk show. There's room for everybody. There's room for everybody at the Richmond table.
His definition had room for everybody.
Yeah, it's speaking of late morning, we'll spend some time with Trey Wilson in a bit. He sleeps in because he works nights for us here at the Fan calling Flying Squirrels games. They're on the road. He'll set the table. He'll talk about a pretty thrilling weekend at the Diamond, a pair of late game no hitters. On Friday and Saturday, Squirrels pitchers came and saw and dominated this weekend at the Diamond. They're now on the road for a week before they return back home. We'll do Tuesdays with Trey. Along the Commanders' lines, we'll play my chat with Craig Hoffman yesterday at 11:30. We'll go through some of these draft picks, some of the later round draft picks, get to know these guys a little bit. We'll do that in the first hour as well. But we've got Commanders, we've got VCU. The third topic that I feel like we talk about all the time is, oh my gosh, seismic changes in the college sports landscape. And another one today. Here we go again. So yesterday in Dallas, the NCAA, the power conferences, their lawyers, and attorneys representing all college athletes past and present in a class action lawsuit against those two parties met in Dallas, Texas.
Okay.
To have discussions about a future where college athletes are paid or allowed to be paid directly by the schools. And ESPN, Pete Thamel here reporting it, they are deep in discussions to lay out the framework for sharing revenue with athletes in a future NCAA business model. So we have two lawsuits here. There's hundreds of lawsuits. There's two that matter here if you're keeping score.
Okay.
One is current athletes are suing that the NCAA cannot restrict them in NIL, right? You see these laws like you can have NIL deals, you can't endorse alcohol, you can't, you know, whatever, you can't be a marijuana spokesperson, that any restrictions are illegal, should be a fully free market. Number two is past athletes. So these are people who are collegiate athletes over the past decade who said because they weren't allowed to have NIL while they were there, they are owed back pay because their rights were infringed upon.
Okay.
They are owed back pay. Now, I find that to be a squishy argument, right? Like, people are allowed to do something now. I want to get paid, too, because I used to do that thing.
Yeah.
I can't come all the way around on that. Like, it's legal to smoke marijuana now. Like, well, I couldn't 10 years ago. I am owed money for that. Like, you owe me damages because you infringe. Like, things change. The rules change. It stinks, right? You always read about these Major League Baseball players who made like $4 a day to play Major League Baseball. And then free agency happened. And then the next year, everybody was making $1 million to play Major League Baseball. And they're like, well, where's my money? I'm sorry. That's really bad timing. I don't think that means you're owed money, but God bless the American judicial system. Looks like they're going to get paid. They are negotiating a settlement of up to $4 billion to compensate past collegiate athletes who did not have NIL money and opportunities. So that's part one, is paying up for what happened previously. Part two is essentially legalizing getting paid to go be an athlete at a college. And so the way this would work, this framework, this is from Pete Thamel here at ESPN. Sources indicate the revenue sharing number per school would be in the neighborhood of $20 million annually. Individual schools could opt in to share revenue up to that number with student athletes at their discretion. Texas A&M Athletic Director Trev Alberts recently told his board that they would be adding $15 to $20 million to their annual budget for what he termed a, quote, new expense category. So we got a lot to work through here. Number one is, how does Title IX fit into all this? Because right now, in our goofy, like, patchwork world, it's the third party that pays the kids for NIL. It's Havoc Unlimited. It's not VCU. And we talked about, you know, our most recent seismic change was a week ago or a couple weeks ago, the Virginia law that the schools can pay directly. Now, if the schools are sharing revenue out of the revenue they're making, is that subject to Title IX? It sure feels like if a school's doing a thing related to athletics, Title IX would be in play here. I can promise you the way they're drawing it up, that's not $10 million for the men and $10 million for the women. I'm getting that vibe very much so. The fact that the only people at this meeting were football people tells me that that's not how they're envisioning this. That we got to sort that out first off. Secondly, at what point do they just become employees? We're sliding down the slope really, really fast here towards them becoming employees. Third, the players are actually kind of getting a raw end of this in an employee scenario. I would remind you, in the NFL, the players get 48%. Of the revenue. That's the salary cap that the teams can spend on players, is 48% of the money the teams make, right? So if the teams make more money, the players get more money. If the teams make less money, the players get less money. That it's cost controlled. The players make 48 cents on every dollar the team brings in. You buy a jersey, 48 cents. You buy a ticket, 48 cents. It's set. It's very similar in basketball and very similar in the NHL. Baseball, of course, does not have a salary cap, so those numbers aren't available as percentages, but it's believed to be more. Because there's no salary cap, you have owners who pay lots more. $20 million at Texas A&M is about 15% of their annual athletic revenue. So while it is a lot of money and a big change in how things work around here, it is not comparable with actual professional sports. And there's a ton more athletes, right? 90 on a football team. You got men's basketball, women's basketball, volleyball, softball, baseball, crew, golf, tennis, golf. Yeah, I think I said golf twice.
It's such a sport. It's a sport so much you had to say it twice.
VCU, A-10 champions at golf.
Woo!
There you go.
That's just right.
Did you get a surge of Rams pride just now?
I did.
That's what you felt.
It hit me in the heart.
That was a Rams pride coursing through you right there. VCU. Tennis won too, so let's shout it all out while we're
very
shouting
nice.
It out. VCU's had a lot of success in the Atlantic 10. A lot of success with all their different teams. And women's basketball, very good this year as well. That didn't win, but was right there with Richmond down to the wire. Very successful program.
Go Rams.
What does VCU do with this? Their budget is not $20 million a year,
right?
But they also don't have a football team. But also, how are you going to raise that money to be competitive in this landscape? VCU, you know, they're struggling to get to seven figures in NIL money each year. And now we're talking about a pool of $20 million out of revenues every year at these big-time schools. I like this, though, the general framework, because it takes the money for the players out of the money that is currently going not to the players. So my main, you know, one of my issues with NIL to date has been everybody's trying to protect their pie, right? Like, the coaches make $5 million a year, and a lot of the coaches have come out and said the players should get paid, which is the only acceptable stance when you make $5 million a year to coach these players. But they're also like, the players should get paid. Not my money.
Right.
And they shouldn't get paid my money, but somebody should pay them money. Yeah, uh-huh. That seems fair. The facilities, right? The everybody's building a new facility and practice center, and it's got a barber shop and a podcast studio and whatever they're putting in these things. Well you can't take from that money. Yeah, you find new money. Money doesn't just grow on trees. Unless you're in Texas when it's under the ground and you just dig it up oil style whenever you need to pay somebody. That it's good to be in Texas. What was it, $70 million to the football coach not to coach? That's a flex. Yeah, $70 million to not work here. Yeah, it seems we'll just go fire up the wells for a minute. We'll dig up $70 million. Don't worry about it. For everybody else, though, this is a closer step towards equity of the money the players need to be getting is not donor money, pass the hat money, but the actual like ESPN money, because they are the product on ESPN. They should be cut in on this. We'll see where this goes. So this is Pete Thamel at ESPN. Nobody's saying this is gonna happen, just that it feels like with the lawsuits looming, with the possibility in these lawsuits of major settlements, major rulings, right? What did we learn from NIL? You don't want the courts to decide, because then it becomes a big fat mess. Then you got Joe Bamisil. He's eligible. He's not eligible. He's eligible. He's not. Get the NCAA and Charlie Baker's the new president. I actually like Charlie Baker. He understands they need to get in front of this instead of the court getting in front of this and then them getting dragged along. This feels like a step in the right direction. Another day, another seismic change in college sports. Off we go. We'll follow this one. We'll keep an eye on it. Lots going on in actual sports as well. VCU hosted another visitor in their quest to rebuild the roster for next year. We'll tell you about him when we get back. We'll also give out a Wawa gift basket sometime this hour. Stay tuned for that. We're off and running on a Tuesday morning. It's MP on the mic. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. 1019 rolling along on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining us. MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. We're worldwide on the free Odyssey app. I told you VCU hosted a visitor yesterday. Jamari Thomas was the MEAC Player of the Year last year at Norfolk State. Honestly, I'm good right there. I'm in right there. But he's visiting his finalists: VCU, George Mason, Cal, and Iowa. That's an eclectic list right there. Certainly, I get a little salty if George Mason beats us out for a recruit, right, at VCU. That doesn't sit right. Cal's in the ACC now, which is a thing I'm going to have to remind myself all the time this year. Right? I called them the Oakland Raiders the other day. You think I got any shot at remembering that Cal is in the Atlantic Coast Conference? No shot. It's SMU against Louisville. What conference is that? I don't know. No, it's an ACC matchup on the ACC. No, but I got no chance of knowing. I also like Robert Jones as the coach over at Norfolk State. That's my guy. I'm always surprised he doesn't get bigger jobs every year when they come open. I love a guy who's been a part of a good team, a team that contends for the NCAA tournament every year, well coached. That would be number two for these guys for VCU. We played the clip yesterday of Robbie Robinson saying, hey, everybody calm down. We're going to have a team. We talked to the team. There is no team. There's going to be a team. Don't worry about it. And look, I fill up enough of this program with my thoughts on how it all works. Suffice it to say, though, there's going to be a team, and there's going to be a good team this fall. And they're going to be contenders in the A-10, because VCU's a contender in the A-10 every year, and because Ryan Odom's good at what he does every year. The rest of it, that's all details. It's funny to me, because, I mean, I've been in this for 20 years now. Recruiting news was like red hot, you know, 10, 15 years ago. Scout, Rivals, what is now 24/7, On Three, the Saber, Tech Sideline. I mean, just on and on. Ram Nation, of course, shout out Ram Nation. So many players recruiting news and following these kids and where do they go. And we always had debates at the newspaper, like, how much recruiting news should we have? It's a little bit, you know, it's one of those, it's a little bit like cotton candy. It's a little like, everybody likes it, everybody eats it. It's probably not good for you in large doses to be that in on high school sophomores taking unofficial visits. But people are way in on that stuff. It's fascinating to me, because that became arguably the most profitable segment of journalism world for a little while there. You know, paid monthly updates on high school kids visiting colleges and where they're going to go, and people getting way into that. That energy has not translated, that I can tell, into NIL world and into the Porter. And like, people are reporting on who's transferring where. I don't get the sense, though, that there's been the same energy around it and the same enthusiasm around the blow-by-blow and the visits and the finalists and the things. And part of it is just, well, we're doing it every year now, right? You're going to have five finalists every single year on which team you're going to play for the next year. The market's saturated. It's a little exhausting. One of my favorites, Morgan Moses, great, great offensive lineman, of course, from here, committed to UVA, did the hat dance. They put all the hats out. Grabs a UVA hat. I'm going to play for UVA. Everybody cheers, and, you know, we did a big story about that. Local guy, top recruit, blah, blah, blah. But he needed to go to Fork Union first to get his grades up for a year before he could go to UVA. At the end of his Fork Union year, he did another hat ceremony and picked UVA again. And at the time, it was like, man, Morgan Moses got two hat ceremonies. That's a wacky. Like, my guy's doing the hat thing twice. And now, you got guys, you got guys who are going to do this four, five, six times in their collegiate careers. It's just baked into the process every year, pick by pick and thing like it. You know, NFL draft happens once. These guys are gonna be with us for a while. 4-year contracts for the rookies, 5th-year option on Jaden Daniels. I can get invested. I can watch some tape. I can break it down. I've been doing that. My conversation with Craig Hoffman at 11:30. We go deep on a couple of these guys. There's a lot I like. As you dig into these guys, there's always a lot you like out of the gate. I think Ben Sinnott, Kansas State tight end, he's quickly emerging as my favorite of this group, just in terms of something they really desperately need. A big-bodied tight end who can block, who can catch, who has that versatile skill set. He was the 53rd pick in the draft, but he was the second tight end taken after Brock Bowers, who of course went very early. He went at 13 to the Raiders, the Las Vegas Raiders, a thing. Not Oakland, Las Vegas Raiders. We'll get there. The bad guys, you know, the guys in black. They lean into it. I respect that they lean into it. Vegas, by the way, as a whole, I was up at the Caps game on Sunday. I was chatting with my guy Steve Wino for a while. AP, I said, are people sleeping on the fact that the Golden Knights who were like this lovable underdog story who made the Stanley Cup in their second year and, you know, represented Vegas first person. They're actually like super bad guys now. And he goes, I've noticed. Like, yes. And they're leaning into it. Like, they have changed the way they do things, like bending all of the rules about injury and salary cap. They've gone full heel. So you got two Vegas teams. Two Vegas teams that have both gone full heel now. But they got Brock Bowers. That was a good draft pick for the Raiders. Ben Sinnott, though, also a good draft pick for the Commanders. If you can't get the best, get the second best. They were able to do that late in the second round with that pick they got from the Eagles. Brandon Coleman's another fascinating one. You heard Logan Paulson on the Junkies earlier, which plays, you know, 6-10 here on the Fan. Logan Paulson was talking about how this is one of the weirder draft picks, right? Because I flinched when they picked him. I don't love he's a tackle, but people think he's a guard. Like, that's all the red lights for me. I don't want any part of that. Logan Paulson, he said, hey, I'm watching the tape. I think this kid's actually a tackle. I talk to people within the Commanders and people who are doing the draft, and they say, we think this kid's a tackle too. He did the Senior Bowl as a guard, which obviously is why that's implanted in everybody's minds, but he's got the length and he's got the size. He's not... Well, that was part of the Brandon Sheriff thing, right? They had to pretend he was a tackle so they could draft him 5th overall. He never looked like a tackle. He never played like a tackle. I don't know how Coleman plays. You can't really gather that from the highlights, but I do know he looks like a tackle. So he checks the first box for sure, and I'll be fascinated to see him at the fall practices and the mini camps and the OTAs and all that. He's got a path to that job in D.C. What a great draft for him, right? He could end up somewhere as a backup guard, and now he's in D.C. competing to be a starting tackle. That's about as good of a draft night as you can have right there for Brandon Coleman. We'll dive into a lot of these guys as the show goes on. Before we step aside, though, let's give away a Wawa gift basket. It's their 60th anniversary, Wawa, of serving Richmond. And so we're giving out 10 gift baskets this week. You get a shirt, you get a hat, you get a couple retro style cups. It's cool. It's a cool box. If you're a Wawa fan, you definitely got to have it. If you're just a fan of cool retro stuff, you're going to want this too. We'll give it out to the first caller right now, 833-804-0910. Give us a call, 833-804-0910. We're back with more MP on the mic right after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Thanks to everybody who called in. If you didn't win the Wawa gift basket, there's always next time. Next time will be in the 11 o'clock hour, so stay tuned for that. Also, next time will be tomorrow and Thursday and Friday. We've got a lot of them. We're excited to share the love with you as we celebrate Wawa's 60th anniversary all week long. Let's play clip number one here, because Jerry Jones has done nothing all offseason with the Cowboys. And you maybe wouldn't have expected that, because they were talking Super Bowl all last year. Boy, the Cowboys fans were talking a magnificent game in December. They looked good. Things were rolling. Just got to get that home field advantage. We don't lose at home. And then that balloon deflated quickly. That's all right, though, because Jerry Jones, next year, we're all in. That makes sense. He's very old. He would like to win a Super Bowl without the Jimmy Johnson aura around him. Yeah. It makes sense that he would be all in. He will turn 82 during the next football season. Very old, right? You got to get one more ring. Everybody chasing one more ring. You got to get one more ring. Got to, you know, finish the legacy. The Hall of Famer. All those things. And so he's all in. And then they did nothing the whole offseason. And traded back in the draft. And I guess they signed Ezekiel Elliott yesterday. Good for them. But largely nothing. But Jerry Jones says, I'm just one step ahead of y'all. Let me tell you what I'm doing.
We'd like to see some more action. It's called option. A lot of guys need to hand it off. First guy through the line. Another one will keep it another step. Decide whether to pitch it or not. He'll decide whether to turn up field with it, and then he's still got a pitch left. I've spent my life being an option quarterback. It'd be madness not to know that the contracts are ahead. I want to see a few more cards play.
Is he talking about football?
Maybe.
Pitching.
Yeah. Is he talking about football? Is he talking about life? Yes.
Okay.
Is the option,
you know,
one guy's got it, but then the other guy could have it, but then it,
choices.
You know, there's three cups, you don't know which one the ball's in.
Exactly.
And if you guess the right one, you win the prize. Sure.
I'm not going to argue with Jerry.
Jerry's lived a lot of life. He's got a lot of those folksy sayings. He's playing option quarterback. Who's got the ball? Nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
Because they haven't signed anybody. Yeah, sure. He. I will say this. In Jerry Jones's defense, and I think he stumbled into this. I don't think this was a masterstroke by Jerry Jones. I think he stumbled into this. Everybody was saying you have to extend Dak Prescott for two reasons. One, every day you don't sign a player, he gets more expensive. Everybody knows that. Those are the rules of football, right? I yelled about that for an entire offseason with Terry McLaurin when they waited until May to re-sign him. Every contract will always be higher than the one above it. That's how it works, because everybody's got to do a little better than the guy before him. And so the longer you wait to sign somebody, the more it costs, period. So I get that argument. Number two, he's got a monster salary cap hit coming, and it cripples your ability to do things in the future. I like Jerry putting his foot down saying, look, we don't know which way we're going here. We'll take the cap hit if we need to take the cap hit. If we need to blow it up and reinvent, we need to blow it up and reinvent. Just because next year could be harder is not a reason to commit to a guy for three more years if we're not sold on that guy. And set aside whether they should be sold on him or not, Jerry's not sold on him. So why would you mortgage away three more years of your future just so you can have a slightly easier next year? That's actually a good move by Jerry. On the other hand, that if he has a good year this year, you're so toast. Because now you're paying next year's prices, your salary cap's not getting that much better, and you know that water's probably a little saltier than it was at the start of this season because you didn't do the Dak Prescott deal. I'm very intrigued by everything going on in Dallas. Put them in the Falcons camp of teams I'm going to talk a lot about this year. Broncos as well, with Sean Payton having to make Bo Nix work as a starter right out of the gate. Lot going on there. A lot that we will be digging into that for a long time for the rest of the year. I saw that Spencer Radler was getting a lot of action as well. He went to the Saints, which was, they probably needed a quarterback after how bad Derek Carr was last year. At the same time, there weren't any good options by the time they picked. And, with you got the Kirk Cousins problem, you got a guy who's big on the salary cap, so you don't get the advantage of a rookie quarterback either. Everyone to rally around the Spencer Radler pick, because everybody thinks that he was picked late because he had the Netflix show when he was 17 and he looked like a brat in the Netflix show. He also wasn't that good of a quarterback, too. There's that as well. Like everybody wants to put the narrative on the guy, right? And we had that with the Commanders, right? Oh, Luke McCaffrey, he just got picked because he's Christian's brother. And also, he's a late third-round pick who can play football decently well, too, and fits a need they have. Spencer Radler, teams only didn't take him because of the Netflix show. And because, 20 other quarterbacks were better than him last year in college football. Other than that, though, I'm so sure it's the Netflix show. So sure it's the Netflix show. How about the Junkies being out on the Kelce brothers? I did not see that one coming.
Hot take this morning.
You know what? They're not afraid. They're not afraid to go where nobody else is going.
That's true.
I would counter, there's a reason nobody else is going there.
Yeah. I'm excited to see their Twitter mentions later today.
Trading RG3 for Jason Kelce on Monday Night Countdown, it's hard to be mad about that. That's an upgrade to the Monday Night Countdown program. I'm trading Alex Smith out of there too, first chance I get. I don't think he adds a lot. That's an upgrade to the Monday Night Countdown program. Jason Kelce, very entertaining.
But does Jason Kelce have his ring? I feel like they didn't bring up the biggest problem here.
Well, he's filed an insurance claim.
Right.
There's no chance the insurance pays for him to get a new Super Bowl ring, right?
Will they have to be specially remade, I assume?
Yeah. Well, I don't think you just get him out of a closet or whatever. But
maybe.
At any rate, there's no insurance that's signing off. When did you lose your Super Bowl ring? In a vat of chili. What happened? Oh, we were doing a fun game where we saw if people could find the ring in a vat of chili. Could they? Nope.
Good for him filing the claim, though.
You never know until you ask.
Exactly.
You never know until you ask what you're gonna get. Exactly. You never know what you're asking until you're gonna what you're gonna get until you ask for it. New York Times reporting about FIFA starting this new tournament next year for club teams. Lots of sports media news today, which is vaguely interesting. The NBA one's more interesting. FIFA is asking for $1 billion to air this club competition next year, which will be in the United States, like a World Cup preview with all the best teams from around the world. Apple is going to pay $1 billion to air this worldwide.
Wow.
On their thing.
Okay.
None of the players want to do this because this is their month off, and instead they're going to spend their month off tromping around America when it's 100 degrees outside playing more soccer.
Did they get a bite out of that billion?
They're not fine. They will get a bite. Don't you worry about that. Don't you worry about they will be well compensated for their efforts. But Amazon is going to land the NBA. They are buying out TNT's share of the NBA. So now you got this big FIFA event to Apple, NBA to Amazon. I'm tired of the whole thing. I don't like watching sports on streaming. Yeah. Soccer's more tolerable because there's no breaks in the action. My main objective, if I'm watching an NBA game, like tonight, I'm watching the playoffs, I got NHL on the main screen. You know how I roll. During the break, during intermission, I want to flip. During the commercial, I want to flip. What's up with the other game? You can't do that on streaming. Mm-hmm. This problem has not been fundamentally solved yet. You can't flip between the games. I got to flip between the games. I'm not just committing to one game as a casual viewer.
You're not a one game Joe.
No.
No.
No, 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 no. I want to flip around. I want
to
see.
You got to stay up to date.
They have figured it out. I'm also curious what happens to Charles Barkley and that crew, because they're the best. I'll watch those clips all day long. I got to think they'll go to Amazon with the package.
Yeah.
But am I still going to, I'm not going to tune into Amazon for a pregame show either. We got issues here.
Interesting.
We got big issues here, because everything's going to streaming. NFL's going to streaming. NBA's going to streaming. Everybody's going to FIFA's going to streaming. Everybody's going to streaming. Until we figure out how to get the clicker working, I don't want to watch all those commercials.
Are you saying it's time to reinvent cable?
The best part of it is, right, like, we tear down cable, you can just buy what you want, and now we all pay an equivalent amount of money to watch all the things we used to watch on cable.
Yes.
And they've started showing us ads again. And I've got to watch What a Pro Wants 19 times a night, because they air that 17 times during every postseason game, despite it being the worst commercial of the last 20 years. That's a brutally bad commercial. I think it's for AT&T. I don't want to think about it too hard.
The Junkies Hot Take has nothing on you right now.
There you go. See? Raising my game. How can you be out on the Kelce brothers?
Nobody's out on the Kelce brothers.
MP on the mic remains in on the Kelce brothers. Official stance. We got to step aside. Got one more segment, and then at 11 o'clock, Trey Wilson joins us Tuesdays with Trey after a big weekend at the Diamond. They set the record. Most Squirrels fans ever at the Diamond in the month of April. Trey will come take a victory lap on that. He'll report in from the road where they start a 6-game road stand today. We are back with more MP on the mic after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan, Nat 105.1 FM. We got back-to-back road Tuesdays with Trey. Squirrels are out of town for the next 2 weeks. They're in Akron this week, Erie next week. So we'll catch up with Trey Wilson, the voice of the Flying Squirrels, in 12 minutes. Get you Tuesdays with Trey. That's a big grocery run right there, 2 weeks. Last time we did Tuesdays with Trey was 2 weeks ago, because last Tuesday we were not on the air because the Squirrels played at 11 a.m., which I'm told is a baseball player's favorite time to play a baseball game. Nothing better than the old show up at 11 a.m. at the ballpark. But 2 weeks ago, we caught up with Trey. He was at the grocery store in Harrisburg, I believe, where there was a violinist playing in the parking lot.
I expect music today.
I think that's one of the better radio segments we've done about the Local 9, for sure.
One of the most beautiful, for sure.
It's peaceful,
serene.
Yeah, giving people what they come for here at 910 The Fan. Classical violin takes.
You're welcome.
you're welcome, Richmond. Tuesdays with Trey is up in a few. We have more breakdown of the Commanders draft. My chat with Craig Hoffman at 11:30. He knows his stuff, of course. Spends a lot of time watching these guys. And one of the things that I think... Look, when you're a bad team and you draft, you're going to fill a lot of needs because you have a lot of needs because you're a bad team. But I run down this list, and I'm counting a lot of guys that could be week one starters, way more than an average draft. And right, part of that is reflective of this is a bad roster with a lot of holes. I'm not glossing over that for the Commanders. If you want to call in with your favorite draft picks or your takes on the draft, we'll leave the line open for you, 833-804-0910. But certainly, your second pick, obviously Jaden Daniels will start. I don't want him to, but he will. I've made peace with that. Johnny Newton, he's a defensive tackle from Illinois. He's not going to start because they've got Daron Payne and Jonathan Allen. But they've got to get him in and get him in quickly, and he's going to rotate because part of it is Allen played too many snaps last year. Payne played too many snaps last year. You've got to dial these guys back so that their effectiveness can go up. So he's going to play some significant snaps next year. Mike Sanristel, the cornerback. They were talking about him. What was fascinating to me was that at Adam Peters' press conference with Mike Sanristel, he referred to him as a star, not a superstar, but that he plays the star position. And the star is a college position, not a pro position. Now, they tried to get it to stick as money backer a few years ago. You remember that. The Cardinals tried that. It's the hybrid. It's your fifth corner, or it's your fifth defensive back, the nickel corner, but he can slide in and be a linebacker too. So he's versatile. He can be a corner in coverage, but he can also slide up and be a linebacker and can rush the passer if you need him to. They tried to catch that on as the money backer. That did not catch on when they did that a few years ago. And it also didn't catch on because it's very hard to be unorthodox in the NFL because largely you're all dealing with the same talent pool. It is hard to craft a defense around a certain player. What I loved about Adam Peters calling Mike Sanristel, you know, a star defensive back, a star position, that's going to get confusing, as I keep saying. As I say it out loud, I'm like, people are hearing it and hearing something different the way I say. From playing the star position is, he's acknowledging that essentially they're borrowing concepts from the college game now. And that's the quickest way to get these guys on the field. Even all the way back to RG3, that offense he ran the first year was crafted by Kyle Shanahan to very closely resemble what he did at Baylor and what he was comfortable with in college. And so if you're looking at ways to get these guys on the field quickly, asking them to do things similar to what they did in college is a great way to bridge that gap, and it shows how they view him too. Now, it also, thankfully, marks the death of the term Buffalo Nickel, which we do not have to hear again. That was a Ron Rivera special. The Buffalo Nickel, a nickel with a little bit of size. Nobody's entirely sure whether he ever actually found one or not. He called a lot of people Buffalo Nickel over the years. None of them, in my mind, were really big enough to be Buffalo Nickel. That's neither here nor there. What matters is we're moving forward. We're moving forward, Mike Sanristel. And I think he'll be your starting nickel corner, star corner, whatever you want to call it. I don't really care what you call it. We'll draw it up, watch it on the field. I think he'll be your starter week one as you project out the secondary. I think you'll have St. Juice. I think you'll have Emmanuel Forbes. And I think you'll have Mike Sanristel. I think that's your three. That's a shaky three. But again, the worse your team, the better your draft because you're filling needs right away. And he could climb up this chart right away too. Ben Sinnott, I think they could go two tight end a lot this year because they're going to need to make up for this offensive line. We mentioned Brandon Coleman out of TCU, a guy who could hang for the starting offensive lineman job. Now, there's your drop-off, right? And then your last four picks, Luke McCaffrey, Jordan McGee, Dominique Hampton, Javonte John-Baptiste, are all developmental guys. Those are lottery tickets. Dominique Hampton's a lottery ticket. Size, speed, he's got the measurables. He hasn't put it together yet on a football field, but he looks like he could. And so you bring him in, you give him good coaching, you see what he could turn into. Jordan McGee, the Temple linebacker, number one tester at the combine. And you know what that gets you? It gets you a Wawa gift basket if you're the first caller. That's all that gets you. That's all that gets you if you're Jordan McGee, right? Best tester at the combine. There's a lot of guys who dominate the combine every year who don't end up being actual NFL stars. But it's the fifth round. Take your chances. Why not take your chances? Roll the dice. See what these guys become. Same with Sam Hartman, bringing him in at quarterback. You got five lottery tickets here, right? One of them's going to pan out, and you got a coaching staff that people believe in, and that's going to take it a long way as well. Now, Dan Quinn chatted at the end of the draft, and he took on Jaden Daniels and his development. Here's what Dan Quinn had to say.
Well, I think there's if there was an ideal space to come into, it's one where everything is on the same page. So he's not coming into a team that this is the system we've been running for the last 5 or 6 years, and everybody can be so far ahead with that. So knowing that, you know, the veterans are only a few weeks ahead into that process, we'll all be on the same page moving forward together. Some of the hardest parts about coaching in the NFL in the early phases is a veteran who's played 5 or 6 years has this knowledge, and a rookie's coming into here. So imagine teaching English 101 and master's English in the same day. And so you can't teach the same class in the same way.
I get what he's saying, and obviously with a fresh offensive coordinator, that's going to be a major talking point, is everybody's in fresh, everybody's in new, everybody's learning. I also think there's something to be said for having somebody who can hold your hand. I don't know if that person's Marcus Mariota or not. I don't know if that person's Jeff Driskel or not. You want somebody in the building that can hold his hand and say, we're all learning, but also, I know what's going on. Here's how we do it. Adam just asked if I'd given the draft class a grade. I haven't. Let's grade at 11:15. Put that on the calendar. Trey Wilson next. Tuesdays with Trey. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. Power number two, MP on the mic. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. You know we're always worldwide on the free Odyssey app. That's the one with the rewind button so you can catch anything you missed from hour number one, including, once again, seismic developments in the world of college sports. Our 19th show with seismic developments in the world of college sports. All we do is come on the air and tell you about seismic developments in college sports.
That's, call us New York. We got so many earthquakes.
Ooh, there it is. All right, little earthquake humor for it. Last time we had Trey on, I think, was the day after the earthquake, right? There you, that was a...
The earthquakes were following the squirrels.
Smooth transition. Look out, good people of Akron, this week. It's a Tuesday, as we are now doing on Tuesdays. We are thrilled to welcome in friend of the program, Trey Wilson. He's the voice of the Richmond Flying Squirrels. Are you in Akron today, Trey? Is that where we're talking to you from?
Hey, Michael. Yes, sir. Coming to you from the suburbs of the home of Goodyear and LeBron James.
Those were the two I could have named. You've exhausted my Akron knowledge. The Goodyear blimp and LeBron James. That's what we know.
I've been here about 300 times, and that's all I know.
Take me back to the weekend, Trey. I was there Saturday. I've never seen a no-hitter. I got a little bit excited. Things were going really well. It didn't happen, but back-to-back nights, how is the booth feeling there as the game went on?
I mean, it's nerve-wracking. First of all, just worried about saying something stupid. You know, it gets cemented forever, which is pretty much a given that I'm going to do at least twice a game, especially this time of the year. But, you know, it's not about us, but just trying to carry the weight of the moment or you know, Friday night, Hayden Birdsong throws five no-hit innings, and the bullpen takes a no-hitter into the ninth. So we're trying to toe the line between filling in the audience on what's going on and not making somebody mad and yell at me on Twitter for quote-unquote jinxing a no-hitter, which you can't do from the radio booth. I don't care what y'all say. they didn't get it, but so maybe there is a case. And then Saturday was even crazier because Tom Michael Bertrand threw seven perfect innings. I've exhaustively researched Richmond baseball history, and to the best of my knowledge, in 150 years, there's never been a nine-inning perfect game thrown by a Richmond professional baseball team. There's been one seven-inning perfect game by Pete Smith of the Richmond Braves back in the early 90s, but never been a nine-inning perfect game. So it's, you know, those are obviously very rare, but just to put it into context, you know, a century and a half of professional baseball in the city, it's never happened. So trying to find ways to give the weight of the moment that was happening, and then they got a hit and it didn't matter.
Have you talked to Pelf about it? Like, I'm assuming he can't let him go the distance, but there's at least the discussion, right?
Oh yeah, I've had conversations with John Michael Bertrand, who threw the seven perfect innings on Saturday. I've talked with Paulus Segura, the pitching coach. I've talked with Dennis Pelfrey. So for background information, this time of year, especially the minor leagues with younger pitchers like this, it's usually kind of a step by step, a level by level ramping up of their workload. And John Michael Bertrand was actually only scheduled for six innings, but he was so efficient by pitch count that it was like, okay, they gave him clearance to go up for the seventh. And even going into the eighth inning, he was only at 68 pitches, which is insane. But it's not just the pitch count, especially with these young pitchers like this. It's how many times they start and stop. We call them ups. So he's had seven ups at that point. This will be his eighth time cooling off and then coming back in. And the Giants people who make the pitching decisions decided, hey, you know, let's shut this down. The biggest thing is that, yes, a perfect game is extremely rare, but it's also extremely difficult to get to the major leagues, and they see a major league future for John Michael and want to make sure that he's healthy and gets there. So the baseball purist inside me is like, come on, throw him back out there, but I also understand. And frankly, Will Jensen's coming out of the bullpen, and you're thinking, okay, there's a guy who is also an outstanding pitcher. You know, maybe we see a combined perfect game, and then there's a walk, and then, okay, maybe you see a combined no-hitter, which also, there hasn't been a nine-inning no-hitter. Think about how long the Diamond's been there. There's not been a nine-inning no-hitter thrown by a Richmond team at the Diamond ever. And the last one was in 1977 for a Richmond team. So like this is how rare these things are. So Hopefully they can get a couple more cracks at it over the next couple of years.
They're knocking on the door. Now, let's talk about the most important person here, Trey, and that's Trey Wilson, announcer of games for the Richmond Flying Squirrels. That game was so fast, like, you're leaving a lot of material on the table. There's a lot on the cutting room floor there.
Yeah. The good news is there's more chances to talk about it, contextualize it the next day, I guess. Or I could just fire some of it out right here and put half your audience right to sleep. It's just in time for lunch.
The half I didn't knock out in the first hour, that'll be perfect. We'll throw the combined no-hitter together. Trey Wilson joining us as he does on Tuesday's Voice of the Richmond Flying Squirrels. And congrats to the organization, everybody who worked for it, the most attended April in Richmond Flying Squirrels history. You mentioned we're not quite at a century and a half, but y'all have been around for a minute. That's something.
Yeah. It was over 7,000 fans a game through the month of April at home, which has never happened. And I'm waiting to see how tonight goes for all the rest of the attendances around the minor leagues before I go ahead and size up where we are with all the minors to, you know, cement that in for April. But right now, the Squirrels are third out of 120 teams in minor league baseball in attendance. The team that's first just opened up a brand new ballpark. It's a AAA team for the Red Sox in Worcester, so right there outside of Boston, generally, you know, compared to here. And then the other team is Dayton, who has sold out every game for almost 30 years now, and they have a great season ticket. Like, they sell out basically on season tickets, so it's, you know, they do it through corporate contracts and stuff like that. So, I mean, everywhere in the country right now, it's hard to find anywhere that's as fired up and coming out to minor league baseball games as Richmond is. The crowds were great, not just in size, but in noise and engagement. Obviously, there are a lot of people who are coming out for more than baseball. They're coming out to, you know, Parney always says, making memories, coming out to get entertained. But the players notice it for sure. The energy level in the ballpark and the engagement of the fans kind of hanging on what's happening, especially over the week, Friday and Saturday, with the no hit possibilities going on. It's been pretty crazy. April is usually a tough month for a lot of teams in minor league baseball because of the weather and school still in and all that. And I'm really excited to see where the rest of this season is going to go.
Y'all had those really sharp uniforms on Saturday too. I'm a big fan of the River City Blues.
Yeah, they were great, and they're for a good cause too. They were auctioned off. We were able to raise some good money for the James River Foundation. Yet they were a hit, and there's still some merch left. I know that they sold a ton of hats and T-shirts for that look, so it was clearly very popular. But the hats, especially the alternate hat, not the one that we wore on the field. I think I like the alternate one more. I liked them both. But with the bridges, archways design across it, that stuff was a huge hit. And Hunter Gloss on our staff, we give him a shout out. He's the one who designed that brand. It looked great. It looked good on the field. It resonated with the city. At least, you know, people felt like it felt very Richmond. I thought it was great.
Felt very Richmond. It was a nice Richmond night too. We were out there, and AWOD was kind enough to take us over to River City Roll afterward, do a little post game. You can do that. You can do that when the game's that quick. You know, I'm not a Trey Wilson, you know, late to bed guy these days. But you know, you zoom through it, you get seven innings of perfect game ball, get the chance to go out and have a little post game slice and live life. So fun times at the Diamond. Y'all aren't back home for 2 weeks here. 2 week road stand. Are you mentally steeled for this, Trey? Give me the breakdown here. What are we looking at this week in Akron?
Clouds, rain.
We've been lucky Ohio. So far. It's been a good year so far.
Yeah, no, it's nuts. I'm looking out my hotel window right now, and I can't see more than about 100 yards away because it's kind of cloudy and rainy. But no, this should be a really good series this week with the Squirrels and Akron. They played a really tight series at the Diamond. Like, every single game of that series was really competitive. They ended up splitting it. And Akron's coming in hot. They've won seven consecutive games. Richmond's coming in on a bit of a roll, having won the series against a really good Bowie team. last week, and obviously the pitching for Richmond has been outstanding, and it's been the same for Akron. Their pitching staff has been unreal. So we might have a few more 2 hour and 15 minute games this week. I just said that tonight will probably go 4 hours now. That's how, you know, the quote unquote jinxes work that people believe in. But yeah, 2 weeks on the road is a long time. It's, you know, trying to figure out how to fit everything into a suitcase. You know, there's no laundry when you're traveling for 2 weeks like this. So it's a very long road trip, and excited to navigate through this and then get back home. We're only home for a week in the next 4 weeks. So, you know, when we do get back home in the middle of May, make sure everybody comes out and has a good time while you can, because there's not a lot of opportunities really until June.
I'd like to follow up on no laundry briefly. The uniforms will be laundered, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The
clubhouse attendants will do that laundry. Yeah, yeah. Well, here's your other boring fact of the day. That's why teams wear gray on the road, because back in the day, they do these long road trips on the trains and stuff. They couldn't do laundry very often, so the grays hid the stains better. But now that everyone is asleep, we can see if we can liven them back up and wake it up.
I love it. All right, Trey, we could never fall asleep chatting with you, mostly because I had a big coffee this morning. Trey Wilson, you'll hear him all week long from Akron, starting tonight, six-game series up there, right here on 910 The Fan. Of course, thank you, as always, for joining us. We'll look forward to another road chat next Tuesday. We'll see how the suitcase is holding up.
I appreciate it, Michael. Hopefully we get a little less background noise interference like today compared to the last one a couple weeks ago.
With the violinist last time. That was great. Thank you, Trey. Trey Wilson, off he goes and off we go to a break. We are back with more MP on the mic right after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Hey, what's got me hungry over here? I mentioned mozzarella sticks. I love a good mozzarella stick. Put that on the menu for TGI Fridays. Not this Friday, but next Friday, we'll be doing the show live from TGI Fridays, May 10th. We're saying it a lot because this isn't the average, like, oh, we're at TGI Fridays. This is a party, so come on out and party with us on May 10th. I want to get the date right. Don't want to tell people to show up and then we're not there. May 10th, that's a Friday, not this Friday, but next Friday. All right, Capitals are doing exit interviews today. Up there at Ballston, at their complex. So everybody will leave for the offseason. TJ Oshie just spoke with reporters. Obviously, a ton of speculation on whether he has played his last game in the NHL. Here is what he had to say minutes ago.
In your mind, you're playing next year.
In my mind, I mean, it would be hard for me to ever for sure say that that I'm stepping away from the game. So, you know, I'd love to play next year, but it will need to be, I will need to come back with somewhat of a guarantee that my back won't be, you know, it's hard putting everyone through this situation. Yeah. From my family at home to the team trying to figure out a lineup to young guys getting called up and going down. So I'd like to find an answer and a fix to the problem before I make another run at it.
There's a long off season ahead for TJ Oshie there. He wants it, and you could tell he wants it, and everybody wants it and loves it, and it's hard to walk away. That was a very honest answer right there. Not, you know, I'm going to try to play, not, you know, I need to retire and I'm going to second guess it, but it would be very hard for me to say I'm leaving. And I understand why. It's been his whole life. He's 37. He's dominated. He's won a Stanley Cup. He beat Russia single-handedly in the Olympics once. A heck of a hockey life right there. But the injuries pile up, and I'll be curious to see what next year looks like for him. Because also, I think they've got one more year where they don't have to make hard decisions. Right? If Oshie wants to come back next year and he's cognizant of it, right? He understands, I'm messing with a young kid's young career, right? You're going to Hershey, you're coming back. Osha's healthy, go back to Hershey. Oshie's hurt, come back. You know, he understands that, but also he's got one more year where he can do that before they have to make hard decisions and truly blow this thing up and go with the youth and build around the youth. Because next year is still the focus, primarily next year for the Caps will remain getting Ovechkin the record. And then 2 years from now, it's time to keep moving. Time marches on, and the trophy's forever and the memory's forever, but the team is not forever. And that was TJ Oshie just now on whether he's played his last game. I think that was Tarik El-Bashir we heard asking the question. Love Tarik. So you'll play next year, right? Well, I'm not saying I am, but I'm not saying I'm not. Stay tuned. So we will stay tuned this offseason. That sounded like a guy who's going to figure out a way to play. Beat up at the end of the season. Little offseason does everybody some good. I think we'll probably see him when training camp opens next year. In 10 minutes, we'll play my conversation with Craig Hoffman yesterday from the Team 980, from his show. We break down a lot of these draft picks. Adam asked me, have you given out a grade? And I haven't given out a grade yet. Not because I don't want to give out a grade, but just because I haven't holistically thought of it. You know, I've been breaking down all these guys individually. I can say this. I'm a tough grader. I actually wasn't over at VCU. I was not a tough grader. I was a full-on pushover at VCU. I'm a tough grader on things like this, though, because to me, if I'm going to say this draft class was an A, that implies you got everything you wanted to, right? Like, it meets and exceeds standards. And they did not get back in the first round, and they did not get an offensive lineman, a left tackle, who can start day one. I'm aware everybody's excited about Brandon Coleman, third-round selection out of TCU. No chance he's ready to go for 17 weeks NFL football this year, out of the gate week one. So to me, I'm not giving out an A unless they hit every objective. One, get your quarterback. Two, get your left tackle. Three, find great picks down the line at depth. Number two is, and we talked about this the other day, there's winning by the numbers, and then there's winning in the flow of the draft. It's a live, breathing, sentient organism, right? That, you know, every draft plays out a little bit differently. They trade with the Eagles, and they win that trade on paper. And they win that trade with the guys they get. And when they trade the 40th pick and they end up with 50 and 53, they end up with two guys they like. On paper, they win. They also send a pick to a division rival, and the Eagles cut the line, grab the best corner available, a guy who a lot of people said was a night one guy, right before a big run on corners. Right? And that's the great organizations. That's a plus, is feeling out the draft where you can say, from the Eagles' perspective, we'll lose by the numbers, but what we know is we're winning. The run on corners hasn't happened yet. We're going to get bonus value on this pick, and then everybody else behind us isn't going to get this guy. And in a few picks, when we pick, it's going to be depleted. Understanding that's about to happen, understanding how everybody else is drafting, that's an A+, right, is the feel for the draft. That said, a technically proficient draft, to be sure, a very good draft at the top. I love the Jaden Daniels pick. You know, it's easy to win with the second overall pick, but they did. They did win with that pick. They won with their three second-round selections. Johnny Newton, Mike Sanristel, Ben Sinnott. You heard me say in hour number one, I think all three of these guys will start. I like the picks the rest of the way as well, buying some lottery ticket guys. Somebody's going to pan out. Two of these guys aren't going to pan out. And somebody's going to be all right, and somebody's going to be a special teamer. That's how it works late. I got no problem with drafting on potential late. Craig Hoffman and I talked about a little bit about, you know, very clearly they knew what they wanted and they went and got it. That is step one. That is not the end. That is the beginning of the work. Now you got to develop the guys. Now you got to send them through the coaching. I would consider an A-. I think it's probably a B+. I think you look at the A's go above and beyond and get bonus value at every position. I don't know that these guys got bonus value out of any of their picks. Johnny Newton's the one I would circle and say you got bonus value there. Should have been a night one guy, ended up being a night two guy. That's bonus value. Everybody else, you made a really solid selection at the position where you drafted him. And I think there's a lot to be happy about if you're a Commanders fan. A B+ is not a bad grade. That's what, you can take that home to your parents. They'll hang that up on the fridge. Hazel Shake, no. Can't take a B home?
B+, nuh-uh.
Can't take a B+ home. Well, all right. So Adam Peters will not be putting this grade on the fridge.
He's got room to improve.
He's got... They say there's always room to improve. But it was a very solid draft. And every time they picked, they won for that pick. When they traded, they won on paper. It's hard to downgrade any of that. We'll have plenty more and rookie minicamp coming up, of course, in the coming weeks. OTAs. We'll be right into it before you know it. We'll be right into it with VCU basketball before you know it. Jamari Thomas visited yesterday, Norfolk State star, MEAC player of the year, as we continue to build this VCU basketball roster for next year. Lots we're keeping an eye on. You won't ever miss a second of MP on the Mic if you search for us on your favorite podcast platform, MP on the Mic. Download the podcast. We're going to give out a Wawa gift basket right now because we did this in the first hour. If you missed out on that one, give us a call right now. 833-804-0910. First caller wins a gift basket to it's Wawa's 60th anniversary. There's a shirt, there's a hat, there's a couple retro tumblers. It's really cool. It's free Wawa swag. They've been around for 60 years. They gave us some swag. We're giving it away to help them celebrate their anniversary. Appreciate the good folks at Wawa. You can be the winner. Here's the number, 833-804-0910. Punch those numbers into your phone. Call in. Hazel, get your name, all your information. And I don't know. Are we sending them? Are they picking them up? I don't know. Nobody knows. But you'll end up with the Wawa gift basket. 833-804-0910. More MP on the Mic right after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. One in four students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. so my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.